Welcome to Rights Watch, a program about human rights around the world from Human Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham. Earlier this month in Cairo, at least 17 Coptic Christians were killed during a demonstration. They were apparently run over by military vehicles. This is just the latest report of abuses by the Egyptian military since the fall of President Hosni Mubarak. With elections coming up, Egyptian human rights defenders are also concerned about the military's intention to retain control of the government. Hassan Bagat is on the line with us from Cairo. He's the director of the Egyptian Initiative for Personal Rights, and he's also being honored by Human Rights Watch this fall. Welcome, and let's start out talking about the attacks on the Coptic Christians that happened on October 9th. I understand that you were there. What happened there?
This was a peaceful march that came out predominantly Christian protesters. They were met with brutal violence from the military police, and many of them were run over by these armored vehicles, and some of them were shot dead. Since then, rather than assume responsibility, the leadership of the military council that is currently our de facto president has completely absolved itself and its elements from any responsibility and cast the blame on the protesters themselves.
Set up for me, Hassan, how people were viewing the military during Tahrir Square, during the revolution, and how Egyptians have come to feel about the military now.
When the army decided to unseat Mubarak, obviously they were celebrated as a professional military institution that stood with the people and not with their abusive commander-in-chief. And so people were throwing flowers at them, taking photographs with them on the street, showering them with hugs and kisses, etc. Right now, the opinion makers and leaders of political parties and political organizations, civil society organizations, journalists, columnists, and TV presenters, they are all deeply critical of the conduct of the army, and even those that used to be in favor of the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces are pleading with the Supreme Council to go back to the barracks, go back to securing the borders, allow for a civilian democratically elected parliament and president to be in place as soon as possible, because the level of mismanagement is just increasing every day.
So since the start of the year, I know the military has imprisoned 12,000 citizens and is trying them in military courts. Maybe the number has risen. How has the military's control of the country changed?
Civil society and political activists managed to mount a very successful public opinion campaign against the excessive use of military courts for civilians over the last few months. And so right now, while we don't have as many people being sent to military courts as a few months ago, we have expanded excessive powers given to police and the Interior Ministry to stop arrests, search and detain people without charge or trial, to refer them to state security emergency courts that, although are composed of civilian judges, do not allow for any appeal and do not provide the same due process rights as ordinary courts, effectively imposing martial laws in Egypt, but also sending a very negative message to the police force that the only way they can do their job effectively is through excessive and abusive powers.
And NGOs have also been targeted or charged with treason. Is your NGO under that kind of pressure?
By the beginning of this last summer, it seemed that clear to us that the army leadership decided that they have three enemies that they identified: independent media professionals, young and youth-led political coalitions and movements, and human rights organizations. The cabinet appointed a fact-finding commission chaired by the Minister of Justice to investigate the funding of civil society organizations with a request to initiate criminal investigations. So while we haven't received any summons yet, we're expecting them soon, and we're expecting some legal measures to be taken against independent human rights organizations the military council and the government deemed to be too annoying or too critical.
And how are you looking forward, or what are you thinking about the upcoming elections, first the parliamentary elections?
The main concern that everyone has now is lack of security on the street and the failure of the transitional government to reinstate the police force, and if an effective and accountable police force on the street might affect the turnout, and that many people will decide that it's too dangerous for them to go out and vote in the elections. And this is our most pressing concern now, and something that is reversible and could change between now and the beginning of the elections in late November.
How are we to look back at what happened in Tahrir Square and think about what's happening now in Egypt? How do you make sense of it?
What happened in January and February was a huge accomplishment. It was the coming together of Egyptians to speak in one voice against oppression and against corruption and against dictatorship. And that ultimately succeeded in unseating a dictator that had been in power for 30 years and disintegrating its abusive security apparatus to a huge extent. This revolution is far from over. It has to continue. Since Mubarak has left, we are just as powerless in their face as we used to be under Mubarak. The only choice we have is to continue to challenge those in power, and that is incredibly frustrating and disappointing because, of course, when we woke up on February 12th, the next day after Mubarak was unseated, we perhaps naively thought that this was the first day of the rest of our lives, the first day in the new Egypt, and that from then on we would only be working for the future, building a new Egypt and a new democracy. Now, 10 months later, we have not even started this yet.
That was Hassan Bagat. He's one of the recipients of the 2011 Alison DeForge Award for Extraordinary Activism. Human Rights Watch is an independent organization dedicated to defending and protecting human rights around the world. For more about us, including audio, video, and multimedia features, please visit hrw.org. You can also find us on Facebook, or you can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham.